Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. And it's 20 years to the day since Britain and France were first linked up by tunnel. Lucy Williamson has been speaking to the man who made the final breakthrough.
It's December the 1st, 1990, and deep beneath the English Channel, tunnel worker Graham Fagg is about to make history.
We'd driven a small tunnel through the side of the tunnel, and the French had come through partly from their side, and there was maybe half a metre of rock left, chalk left to be taken out.
Graham and his French counterpart, Philippe Cosette, are about to open the first land connection between their two countries since the last ice age, 8,000 years ago.
What we had to do was to break this out using air hammers, or jiggers as we call them, to make the passageway through from France to the UK.
And that's a kind of sort of pneumatic drill, is it?
That's it. It's just like the road drill that you see them using on the side of the roads, but a little bit smaller so that you can actually lift it. And everything went well until my jigger actually broke through, and I think I nearly caught Philip with it, and I thought, oh my God, that's just what we want.
You can probably hear in the background now the drilling started again. We're looking as carefully as we can. Graham Fagg is the man with the drill. He's going for it now, working hard. Philippe Cosette on the other side, the Frenchman. We have a hole, we have a small gap. You can hear the cheers now. We can see hands, we can see machinery.
You broke through, and what you had then was what? A sort of a small hole that you could see through, or how big was it?
Yes, we had a hole that we could see through. It would be approximately half a metre square to start with. On the French side was all the media, with all the cameras, and it looked like Philip was going to come through to our side, where there was just a camera that was actually recorded onto tape. So he had a couple of photos taken, and then I had to sort of say, go on, you've got to get back to the other side, mate. You know, I've got to come through from this side.
Did you speak French?
No, I don't speak French at all. I've one or two phrases like everybody else, but yeah, I just gestured with my hands. I just sort of make a push in motion, and Philip went back. And at that time, when Philip went back, we then exchanged the flags. We have two flags. I had the British flag, he had the French one, and we exchanged flags. I still keep my flag as a memento of the occasion. It's still there. It's in perfect condition. And I would suspect that he still got his.
And then what happened?
And then we went back to opening the hole up. And we opened it up to the size that you could actually walk through. As soon as it was large enough, I walked through to the other side. I gave what I thought was appropriate at the time, which was a Vive la France, which is about the extent of my French. And All the media started taking photos, and the cameras were rolling, and it was a big event on the other side. It was unbelievable.
One of those who witnessed Graham break through to the French side of the tunnel was British Transport Secretary Malcolm Rifkind.
It was the most extraordinary sensation I can ever recollect, because we were able just to see through a small peephole at first, the people on the other side, and then the rocks gradually fell away, and we were able, one of our colleagues then shook hands with his French counterpart, and then we crawled through to meet our French colleagues.
As we broke through, the air pressure difference between the French and the English side became apparent. The air started to rush through from the British side to the French side, and in actual fact at one time was that strong that it actually took my hat off, which just shows the how air pressure can be different from one side of the channel to the other.
What were you feeling?
I suppose relief that I'd got through without any problems. The magnitude of the event hadn't actually caught up with me. I think it's afterwards, when you've got time to sit and think about it, that you begin to realise, especially if it's sprung upon you within a few hours, which is what happened to me.
Graham Fagg had no idea until the night before the breakthrough that he would be the first person through the tunnel. An ordinary tunnel worker, his just happened to be the name that was picked randomly out of all the tunnel workers involved. And now here he was, in the glare of international TV cameras, blinded by the flash of press photographers, the first person to pass through a train tunnel which had taken almost 10 years to build.
the big difference between France and the UK when we broke through was the fact that on our side we had tea, soft drinks, water, that sort of thing. On the French side, you had the champagne and the wine, and it was unbelievable.
I bet you were glad you're on the French side.
I must admit, I did have a glass of champagne, which is very rare for me, actually. But I did have a glass of champagne just to celebrate.
What was the atmosphere like?
It was very celebratory. People were overjoyed. The project had been going for a long, long time. I'd actually been involved since 1970s when we started the previous attempt to come through. And to come back and do it made it really worthwhile, shall I say, really worthwhile. That when we got to the French side, there was a huge marquee. We went up onto the top, BBC radio was there, television cameras. And when we went into the tent, everybody cheered and lifted their glasses to us. And in actual fact, at one point, I had people coming over who were actually cutting pieces of my jacket off as to keep as mementos.
What was your reaction to that?
Well,
it was cold.
Yeah, but it wasn't too bad in the marquee. I think all the excitement was keeping the place warm. No, I didn't mind. I mean, it really was a special day for a lot of people who'd been working on the project for years.
Did you take any mementos back with you?
I have a Frenchman's helmet and I have the flag, and Philip presented me very unexpectedly with a small piece of rock which has, what's it got in it? Iron pyrites embedded in it, which they got when they were digging the shaft. And Philip presented me that, and I felt a little bit lost because I hadn't got anything to give him, unfortunately. I did think about taking down a memento to hand to him, but my wife said, oh, no, you don't need to do that.
What was it like seeing all the coverage when you got home? What was it like to see yourself on the front pages of the papers and the TV broadcasts?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's surprising. It throws up all sorts of things as well in a personal nature.
Like what?
And, well, you start getting people that you haven't seen for years ringing you up and saying, oh, I see you on the telly and I see you in the newspapers. As surprising consequences, shall we say.
What consequences did it have? What was the most surprising consequence?
I think it was the way, to be quite honest, in later years, that people still remember you. You have to remember that on something like this, there's good and bad sides to everything of this nature. And some people are jealous.
If you'd known on that day when they took you into the office and said, you're the guy we've chosen to do this, if you'd known then what was involved, what you've just told me, would you have said yes or no?
My wife would have wrung my neck if I'd have said no. I would still have done it. I would still have done it.
Four years later, the tunnel was formally opened to the public by both the British and French heads of state. Despite all the publicity, consumers on both sides of the channel were initially cautious. It took another 5 years before the tunnel operators began to make a profit. 20 years on, the train service between London and Paris has become something of an institution, and Graham Fagg is preparing for another anniversary celebration.
Lucy Williamson. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.